Welcome to the Executive Challenge Academy Leadership Program. This series will focus on leading through challenging times. And during the series, you'll hear from a range of special guests who each offer their own unique perspective on what it takes to lead decisively and successfully with care and compassion. I'm your host, Rebecca Archer, a journalist and media industry professional with more than 20 years' experience. Joining me on the podcast today is Matt Lyons. Matt is a senior sergeant in the Queensland Police Service. Having been sworn in more than 23 years ago, he was one of the first recruits of the North Queensland Police Service Academy. For the past 5 years, he's worked as a district duty officer, a role which includes directing resources to achieve specific district objectives, as well as assuming command and control of major incidents until the matter's resolved. Matt is also responsible for providing active on-road leadership, supervision, advice and support to operational staff. Prior to his current role, Matt worked for 5 years in the Townsville Juvenile Aid Bureau, achieving detective classification, investigating child abuse, pedophilia and SIDS deaths. Matt has led teams as a shift supervisor for over 9 years and has acted as officer in charge of various police stations in Townsville, managing large numbers of diverse staff. He's also a qualified police negotiator of 18 years. Matt delivers incident command and de-escalation communication techniques training to staff to enhance officer safety. Matt has also relieved as a commissioned officer in various capacities, his most recent, a 15-month secondment to Townsville Stronger Communities Action Group, a Queensland government-based initiative to address the underlying causes of youth crime in Townsville with 6 other government agencies. In addition to all of this, Matt has participated in Executive Challenge Academy programs as a leader committed to his own ongoing growth and learning, but also to the ongoing development of others. In handing forward to others, he has built local networks of senior leaders committed to supporting future leaders. He's been a sponsor, a learning partner, and a presenter of his own leadership story. And we'll be hearing more about that story on today's episode. Matt, thank you so much for your time today. I'd like to start by asking you how your view of leadership has been evolving, specifically during the coronavirus pandemic.
I think most organisations would have had to embrace an adaptive style of leadership during this time by helping mobilise members of their organisation or community to adapt to significant change. You can see now the importance of adapting to the current complex and rapidly changing environment, focusing on creating circumstances for good leadership and problem solving. Some people within organisations are probably reluctant to change, but in the current environment where change could happen multiple times a day, if you aren't on that bus, you're going to get left behind. And from what I'm seeing and reading, the majority recognise that this change is inevitable, and through trial and error, people are adapting.
Can you share some of your personal experiences of leading or just living through the pandemic? How has it felt for you?
Well, I guess the Queensland Police Service has been pretty much front and centre in responding to this pandemic. Not a day goes by where some sort of information is being distributed by the executive around our response. For me, in my role as a frontline supervisor, it has been quite challenging. By the very nature of my role, I feel phone calls and emails on shift seeking advice around operational policing from staff, both junior and senior. Throw in the new legislative powers and directives from the Chief Health Medical Officer. It adds another layer of complexity. As we know over time, there have been many changes and updates to certain directives. And as a leader, you must get your head around these and understand them. As leaders, staff look to you for direction and, most importantly, support. There have been instances where staff have been frustrated or confused about one thing or another. But you just need to take the time to talk to them about their concerns and try to find a resolution, because this isn't something that's going to go away anytime soon.
And, of course, in terms of leadership during this unique situation, what have you found that has worked and what perhaps hasn't worked so well?
Well, what has worked is when you look after your people. The most important thing in my eyes is to an effective workplace is having the trust, respect and support of your people. That also extends out to external agencies, which I deal with a fair bit. And there's a model called the Behavioural of Influence Stairway Model, which I use during high-risk negotiations where you utilise active listening skills, display empathy, build rapport, so you can influence someone before affecting behavioural change. it's something we instinctively use in everyday life and has a great success in building relationships and resolving conflict. I think what hasn't worked is to have high expectations of all staff. We're all fatigued and everybody in good faith is just doing their best.
What have you learned about yourself through this situation? Have you had any key takeaways from what's been happening?
I've learned the importance of having a great support network. There's a period of a couple of months ago where I led staff through some pretty significant events, a couple of fatal traffic crashes, a suicidal male barricaded in a unit with a firearm, plus some other complex issues. I wasn't really sleeping too well and I felt fatigued. I've got some great work colleagues within our five-person work unit, plus a wonderful wife. I leaned on them and took time off throwing myself into CrossFit to recharge the batteries. I guess many years ago, I probably wouldn't have, I would have tried just to battle through the situation. But now I realise having a healthy and refreshed dad and police officer is better for everyone. I've also learned that everyone is affected in one way or another throughout these times, and I hope they too can push through it.
It has been interesting. I think there have been traditional industries and sectors of the workplace where once upon a time it might not have been okay to stand up and say, look, I'm exhausted and I'm burnt out. And I'm interested to hear from you whether you think there is a cultural change coming in relation to that, particularly given the Queensland Police Service is potentially one of those places where, you know, you didn't speak up, you just got on with the job.
There's been a huge shift within the service. I mean, the fact that our people matter is now the slogan with how we treat each other. It's our driving mission and intent that we've got to look after our people. There's certainly lots of people now standing up around the issues of mental health. They've got the early intervention program within the service where if you're not feeling too well, you can go and have a visit to your doctor and then go to a psychologist and talk about the issues without any fear of ramifications within the service. The Queensland Police Service has rightly recognised that keeping our people healthy is a better organisation.
Absolutely. And Matt, is there anything that you've observed or learned about other people from this situation, good or bad, but just some things that you've sort of noticed and thought, that's really interesting that, you know, that behaviour is occurring during this time of immense stress and change with the pandemic?
Well, I've learned that resilience is everywhere, and that seems to be the latest buzzword and cliche. The people have been stretched further than they have ever been stretched before. Been asked to do more with less, work longer, do things differently, adapt, et cetera, et cetera. I just think there's never been more communication between people about anything and everything. I know that everybody is united in wanting these things to go back to some sort of normality, but what normal will look like in the future is anyone's guess.
Well, that's exactly right. There are so many unknowns. But as we do move forward, what do you think we need from our system leaders in this situation?
I think there's little more that's needed from our systems leaders at the moment, and I'm talking to QPS. I think at the moment we keep more of the same. I know, for instance, most, if not every QPS officer knows Commissioner Carroll's edict on applying a common sense lens to decision making and to act compassionately, to communicate, to seek understanding and to enforce compliance where required. I think there's a wealth of information being released by the government and pushed out to every agency, which at times can be overwhelming. But again, that is the nature of the ever-changing situation that we're in, and it has to happen that way. If we're acting with integrity, professionalism, having community respect and fairness at our forefront every day, then as an organisation, we're on the right path.
And Matt, have there been any other observations that you might have had and would like to share with us today about leadership amid this pandemic?
Well, I guess for me, I can't understate that people understand the why for doing things. The more that people understand their why and the reasons for doing things a certain way, their purpose, et cetera, I think the easier people can respond in certain situations. I've read a few books on this particular subject and I believe in the theory behind it. I think it enables teams to work more efficiently and productively. I also think communication continues to be the most important tool we have to achieve whatever it is our mission. Without sounding too military-like, we all have goals. Sometimes we take different paths to achieve them, but ultimately effective communication is the key. And finally, partnerships are vital. Promoting, creating and fostering effective partnerships along with information sharing are essential to getting through this. I think you will see information sharing protocols become the bedrock of the new normal.
And Matt, just changing tack for a second, it would be really great if you could share a bit about your experience with the Executive Challenge Academy. How did you come to be a part of this program?
Well, for me, it was a bit of a humble nomination. I was approached by the chief superintendent at the time and the superintendent, and was told that they were nominating me for the Executive Challenge Academy, and I was quite miffed as to why they'd select me when there's a lot of other great senior sergeants around or leaders around the district. But I took it in my stride, come home and spoke to my wife about it, and was really proud that I was nominated to do the program. And for me, in my role, I'm pretty humble. I don't look or seek any sort of acknowledgement or medals or kudos for what I do. I just do your job. And this was sort of a little bit of recognition, and I was quite excited and somewhat daunted, because I see these things as for corporate type of people, and I was an operational police officer. So I knew this would be a good thing for me, because I'd be put out of my comfort zone and learn from other like people.
And can you tell me a little bit about how the Executive Challenge Academy has impacted on you in your professional life and perhaps also your personal life?
Look, it was a really, really life-changing experience, the 12 months of doing the program. The program was excellent, presented a lot of thinking, thought-provoking topics over that 12 months with the different guest presenters, and certainly meeting the like-minded cohort that were on the program with me, the Queensland Fire Emergency Services and the non-government agencies, certainly was a great masterstroke in putting the people together, because you get a cross-spectrum of thoughts, ideas, ways to do things, and know that these people go through what you go through as well. And sometimes there's people there that sort of lift you and give you a way to do things differently. And I think the thing that I took out for me was the information session that we got on the media. For me, in my role, I do a fair bit of media with what I do. I'm the spokesperson, I guess, if something significant happens and we've got to front the media. And it's all about driving the narrative and putting the right narrative out there. And what I learned through the session on media to take away points on how to assist in driving the narrative. I'm not saying a bad narrative. I'm just saying simplistically explain what has happened. And sometimes it's a bit daunting having three or four journalists in your face with cameras. So for me, the takeaway was that resonated with me, that particular session, and the other sessions certainly challenged me in a different way.
And are you finding that just in your daily responsibilities, in your work, you draw on the learnings that you gained from that 12 months in the program fairly often, or is it just something that's now embedded in the way that you go about your job?
Well, I think it's embedded to some degree. Certainly, you sort of sit back and you might think, geez, I remember having a conversation with that person at that particular day during the Challenge Academy and thinking, you know what, he did it that way, I'm going to give that a crack. Or maybe Jan or Neil or guest presenter has given some sort of strategy or idea how to resolve a certain situation, approach a project, look at career development, whatever it might be. It's sort of something you can reflect on. And I think without doing the academy, I guess I'd be poor for information, I guess.
And do you find that you, when you are potentially spotting future leaders, thinking about how can we really move towards grooming them to become future leaders and really getting them into a position where they could take the helm in the future?
Well, I've been a beneficiary of very great mentors, and I think with what I do teaching my incident command training and my communication training, I'm always on the lookout for potential leaders. And having trained over 200 police in this incident command training, it's easy to spot those that are just got their heads above the rest with leaders. And yes, so it is easier now to identify like-minded people. Always come back to that well, not that we're special, but some people are plotters, some people are just trackers, and some people are leaders, and they take it on. So it has made it easier to identify people who could perhaps be the next generation of leader, most certainly.
Well, Matt, it's been really great to speak to you today and hear your perspectives and experiences with not only the Executive Challenge Academy, but also leading through this extremely challenging time with the COVID-19 pandemic. I really appreciate you making the time. It's been just fantastic to talk to you.
Rebecca, it's been a pleasure. I'm really honoured to be asked to participate in this, and I hope it benefits other people.